his lama, the scholar rummaged through the fellow's clothing, unearthing a ring of keys and a tiny 22-caliber homemade blaster. Mildred called such things zip guns, but he had no idea why. He softly tossed the keys to the first prisoner.
Here. The guards at the gate are drunk on brandy I bought for them. But move fast. I do not know when the shift changes. The swamp mutie is dead, so lay a fake trail to the east, then double back and scatter into the forest.
Doc pressed the zip gun into the hand of a woman prisoner.
Know how to use this?
She nodded and pulled back the rubber band to see if there was a cartridge inside the thin pipe. Doc dropped a bundle on the ground.
Here is a knife each, and some bread. It was the best I could do.
Bless you.
Why?
As he spoke, the male slave worked the locks on his ankles. There was a click, and he stood free from the chains. Red rings circled his ankles from the constant rubbing of the iron cuff, scars that would never go away, inside or out.
Did you like being a slave?
No.
Neither did I. Good luck.
Doc turned and walked into the shadows. There was a knock on the bedroom door. Grabbing his long blaster, Ryan rolled naked out of bed, and Christy leveled her own revolver at the door. Ryan pretended to yawn.
Yeah?
Me.
Sensing trouble, Ryan padded across the room and unbolted the door, letting Mildred slip through.
What's the matter? Is the Baron planning on robbing us?
Christy hurriedly stepped into her pants.
Worse. The old coot freed the slaves.
His chest glistening with sweat, Ryan inhaled deeply.
I expected as much. Do the Sekhmen know what happened?
Not yet, but they will soon.
Ryan laid the blaster on the warm bed and started to get dressed.
Wake the others and get the horses.
Already done. They're downstairs packing food.
Let's go.
Hurrying downstairs, the companions mounted their horses and rode casually to the front gate. The guards were snoring on the ground, and they passed through without hindrance. Once outside the walls, they pressed the horses into a full gallop.
Which way are the slaves heading?
The freed prisoners are dispersing into the forest.
That's east.
Dean tightened the reins on his mare.
Which is good, because we're going north.
West!
But the closest Shiloh is in Tennessee.
Just then, barking hounds sounded from the ville, and a bell began to clang.
I'll explain later.
And Ryan urged his mount to greater speed. Privately, the one-eyed man wanted to be furious at Doc for causing this unnecessary trouble, but he couldn't find a good reason. They'd been planning on leaving in the morning anyway, and to be honest, Ryan had briefly considered freeing the slaves himself. He supposed there were just some things a man had to do, no matter what the consequences. Dawn was breaking on the horizon, the indigo clouds of night lightening into the purple and orange of a new day. Sleepy people rose from their cots and beds, stumbling out of their cottages and huts, shuffling across the dirt to start another long day in the bitter fields. The rains had come late this year, and the soil was yielding poor crops. Many of the plants grew twisted and wrong, the grain inedible or deadly poison. Game was scarce, and few cans of pre-dark food were found these days, so farming was the only hope of surviving another year. Suddenly, the roar of a powerful machine broke the morning stillness as an open-topped wag full of armed Sekhmen drove into the middle of the ramshackle ville. The machine was closely followed by a line of trucks draped in canvas. Armored and bristling with weapons, the war wag stopped with a squeal of brakes in the middle of the gawking crowd, the population backing away from the fearful machine. Some of the smaller children started to cry, clutching their mothers, while burly men with calloused hands stepped forward, brandishing sickles and axes. A towering giant squinted in hostility.
What are you doing here? Go away!
In the vehicle, a clean-shaved lieutenant in a crisp blue shirt stood and raised a small cone to his mouth. His loud voice boomed across the motley collection of huts.
Greetings and salutations, my fellow Americans.
I bring you great news from the Baron of the United States.
Instantly, a few men on the outskirts of the crowd dropped whatever they were doing and raced into the field. But black shapes plowed through the summer weeds to cut them off, and the men found a dozen more Hummers encircling the little ville.
Return and obey!
Most of the escapees turned and skulked back to the crowd, but two bolted past the war machines, nimbly racing for the forest. The deadly whine of auto fire sounded, brass shells arcing into the air like a golden rainbow. The stuttering line of tracer rounds reached out to sweep across the escapees, and the dead men tumbled to the ground, torn to pieces from the heavy caliber bullets.
As I said, greetings and salutations. We have come to offer you a once-in-a-lifetime chance to help feed your families and assist in rebuilding our wounded nation into the glory it once was. America reborn from the ashes, and only you can help!
Murmurs came from the crowd. Some glanced at the fields, and the ring of wags turned on their headlights.
Don't live in no America. This be Tennessee.
The lieutenant scowled at the man until he lowered his head.
As I was saying, you will receive the fabulous honor of being allowed to work for the glorious great project and help us rebuild America. It is a noble cause, one you will tell your grandchildren about with pride. Yes, you very people can become soldier workers whose strong backs and brave hearts will gloriously fulfill our nation's ultimate destiny.
There were more murmurs from the farmers, and the sec man began to wonder if any of them knew half the words he was using from the speech given to him. He decided it was time to cut to the bone of the matter. The officer tossed the paper aside. The major was an ass. He knew how to do this.
All right, listen up, you brain-dead hillbilly scum! We're here to gather everybody in the ville capable of doing a day's work. No pregnant women, crips, or babies, but everyone else is coming with us.
He paused a moment to let that sink in.
We asked this service of Shilohville down the road. The leaders of that ville foolishly refused us. We begged them to reconsider, but they refused to help America and forced us to punish them severely. China will no longer worry about how to bring in their crops or hunt for food or anything. Have you seen what remains of their ville? Well, have you?
Sobs came in reply, and he knew they had seen. This was why Dr. Jummy Vu waited a day before sending them to the next ville, to let the word spread and the fear build.
As workers for the new American Army, you'll receive 3 meals a day, clean housing, and after one season you'll be sent home with a blaster and a pocket full of ammo. We have done this before, and we'll do so again.
Faint hope brightened in their faces, and he smiled benignly at the crowd. God, what a lie, the officer thought, but kept a straight face.
That's the deal. Work and reap rewards, or defy us and force us to again bring down terrible destruction.
As if on cue, the overcast atmosphere rumbled and miraculously cleared, the heavily polluted clouds thinning until an azure sky was visible. Sunlight flooded the ville. Some of the people stared in wonder. Others gasped in fear at the unnatural sight.
Yes! The sky is ours to command! Watch!
Another rumble, and the clouds rolled in to obscure the sun. As they touched, sheet lightning flashed and continued raging for more than a minute.
Get in the bastard wags!
Beaten, the people of the ville walked toward the waiting line of vehicles. Sec men armed with long blasters separated them, the men going in one truck, the women into another. A young woman saw the leering faces of the blue shirts and realized her horrible fate. With an anguished cry, she pulled out a knife from under her skirt and slit her own throat. Bright blood gushed from the wound, and she fell limply to the ground. At the sight, the farmers tensed, fear overlapping into anger, rage fueling courage. Heads started to rise in defiance, and hands became fists. In unison, the sec men fired their weapons into the air, and the heavy auto fires on the wags added their awesome barks to the deafening cacophony. Hot shells rained over the farmers, making them wince and hide behind raised hands. Stunned and shaken,